step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Who are the men that pick for scraps amongst the ruins at the end of history? You should know, because you encounter them every day. Between the towering buildings of a fallen empire, we find the Fellaheen, the historyless men, who know nothing of the turning of the cosmic wheel and find themselves outside of civilization itself. Cut loose from the great chain of being, they represent the loam into which our dying culture will return. That is, unless we choose to take up the burden once again. This Fellaheen condition is the subject we explore in issue 4 of Islander Magazine, on sale while stocks last and available worldwide at shop.loadseaters.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Loadseaters, episode 1220 for Thursday the 31st of July 2025. I'm your host Luca, joined today again by Harry.
Buy it.
And not so mystery guest, Josh Firm.
Oh. Hello. Me again, can't get rid of me.
And today we're going to be talking to you all about the fact that the leftists have finally discovered Islam. And the fact that
this is, what, the fourth time?
Yes. Well, they keep forgetting.
Oh, you see,
that's a problem. They remember, and then they forget. And on it goes, like...
A goldfish.
An Ouroboros.
Like small, testosterone-less, retarded goldfish.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, well put. I won't do the segment. No, it just sums it all up perfectly.
By the way, folks, if it looks at any point like I'm moving like Michael Keaton Batman, I've got a pinched nerve in the back of my neck right now, so I can't really turn my head all
Josh.
That well. Yeah, so we're using the swivel chair to its fullest potential.
You need to do a sort of Dr. Evil. You need to start your segment facing the opposite way to the camera and just spin around. Doesn't quite work because the chair just hits the table.
Yes, it does, and also destroys half of the studio.
Yes. But when Harry isn't just swiveling on his chair for the entire thing, we're also going to be talking about...
Everything's falling apart. It's you!
I'm back, and I brought chaos.
Yes.
I may seem calm, but I bring turmoil.
Well, you're going to bring the chaos of Japan striking back, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Quite literally, the Empire strikes back.
I wanted to make that joke, but I thought, no, that's too on the nose. You've made it for me. There we go.
Yeah. No joke beyond me. And why no one believes in the future anymore, a nice sunny topic to round off the podcast with.
Yes, so to counter Mr. H's depressing segment about the future from yesterday, I'm countering with a depressing segment about how there is no future.
Can't be depressing if there is none.
So take that, Nate.
So before we begin, of course, you may have noticed the obvious magazine in front of all of our stands. And yes, Islander issue 4 is now with us, ladies and gentlemen. Rory has once again done a tremendous job with the aesthetics. There are all sorts of esoteric little Easter eggs on the front cover.
This man is the postmodern traditionalist.
This man is Rory. This is Rory.
This is actually what he looks like.
This is him now. This is
self-portrait.
And I've not been able to read through the articles yet. Obviously, it's just come out, but I do know that there's many wonderful writers in there, as usual. Carl's written a piece, of course.
Luca Johnson's written a good piece in there.
I have written, number 4 of Marshals of Middle-Earth, this time talking all about the Dark Lord Sauron. Very, very mean guy, very nasty, did some bad things. And I heard
he was a great guy. Mm.
Well, he cured a lot of labour shortages.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway, let's begin talking about the news. So, the Green Party are currently having an election within their party for who is going to be the great pioneer who is going to bring us into the net zero utopia, of course, that we will no doubt all live in towards the end of the 21st century.
I thought it was the Islamic Caliphate they were bringing.
They're bringing in the eco-caliphate. They're gonna spread the light of Islam, but also solar panels.
The most unlikely union I've ever heard of.
The solar panels of Islam. Yes, Muhammad talked about this.
Yes.
But obviously that's not the thing that... the climate stuff is genuinely not even what people think about now when you think of the Green Party, as you say, Harry. You think about Islam. And there's a reason for that. And it's obviously because when we look back to the last general election, the Green Party's Gaza stance won over a lot of Muslim voters. And with new Muslim voters also comes new Muslim councillors. And therefore more Muslim influence in the Green Party itself. So let's have a look at the quality of these men, shall we? You obviously might remember as well that... Well, actually, let's just... There we are. So we've got this chap here who shouted Allahu Akbar after and said that this is a win for Gaza.
Cares deeply for the environment.
Not ours, God forbid. Not ours at all. And obviously, I've got those slightly out of order, but as you can see here as well, the Green Party, the Muslim Greens, right? So you've now got, I mean, that, how is that for an image? That's a proper UK aesthetic, if ever I saw one. And yeah, you can see all sorts of things here about our main objectives and aims, and really all of it is just bound up in...
Is that picture even the British Isles?
I was questioning that. Is this like...
It doesn't look like it.
It's
a sneaky.
It looks like the island from Jurassic Park that has all the dinosaurs on.
It's coastal Pakistan.
It's Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe.
Are you joking?
I'm joking.
Okay, you said it with a very straight face.
Quite a flat country.
I'm working on my deadpan. Mm. But yes, obviously the Green Party, because the Green Party is obviously one that. Even more than the Labour Party, you know, it really is just that one where all of the minorities and freaks flock to in order to protect themselves against the mean, big, bad fascists, i.e. normal people, not as in like the fascist bit, but, you know, just everyone is a fascist on the outside of this. And so, as I say, you have a growing Muslim influence. And let's just check in on this chap now. You know, over a year on, and see what he's talking about, shall we?
Is it still Gaza?
Well, for once, it actually isn't.
Oh, wow.
You see, because of the internal elections that are going on in the Green Party, for what the future of the Green Party is going to look like, this crossroads of destiny that we find ourselves at, gentlemen.
Because whenever I think of destiny, I think of the Green Party.
Yes.
I think of cuckoldry. I don't know why I make that association between the word destiny and that.
Oh. very good.
But one of the things, of course, with this is like, well, so Mothin here, Mr. Allahu Akbar himself, wants to become the deputy leader of the Green Party. So he, obviously, in this, has to decide what his stances are. What are his pledges? What are his positions?
The word inbred is also trending.
So it is.
Coincidence.
So as he says, I've been sent pledges and hustings invitations from a number of special interests and liberation groups, such as the Vegan Greens. I didn't know there was another kind. To be
liberation as well. What are you getting liberated from?
The Alphabet People Greens, the Feminist Greens. You get the idea. Officially recognised or not, I've chosen not to sign any. Not because I don't support their causes, but that, because...
He doesn't.
Well, we'll
yeah, what
get
does
to
he
that.
Care about veganism?
Yeah, where's that in the Quran? You don't. I've never come across a Muslim vegan.
They don't like
halal tofu.
Meat, but, yeah.
Yes.
Also, the Alphabet people, they're not big fans of them. Hate to break it to people, but that's true.
He says, I've chosen not to sign any, not because da-da-da. Ideally, sitting down in conversation and not via third parties. I believe the pledge system runs a risk of undermining our internal democratic process. I did get this message to one of the groups in advance, but I recognise that my communication on this could have been better. I won't trouble you with the rest of it, but you get the idea. He doesn't want to commit to certain pledges that a lot of the middle-class progressive English people in the Green Party, mm-hmm. of course,
yeah,
dedicate
pledges.
Their lives to.
He doesn't want to do white pledges.
No.
even if I disagree with them as well, because they're stupid.
Of course.
But he disagrees with them because there are white stupidity. Interests.
I'm sure he's fine with the Gaza Pledge. Absolutely. Of course. So, but this led to some genuinely funny interactions, where all of a sudden you get just Green members saying, okay, but will you support the LGBT group's pledges in future?
Won't throw me off a rooftop, will you? Please. In the name of the environment. This carbon has been declared neutral.
Says, I don't agree with the concept of pledges. I'll be happy to work with them on issues they are confronting. So again, just kind of dodging it. Okay, but that makes you the only candidate that has this opinion, and the optics of that decision leaves me with questions about your candidacy, which I didn't have before, and I was definitely going to vote for you. Now I need to look at the other candidates. It's like, well, he's a Muslim, like, WTF is wrong with you? If you're saying Muslims are automatically anti-LGBT, that seems like bigotry to me.
But the face-eating saber-toothed tigers won't eat my face, surely.
But even the Muslim world says it. It's not like they hide it, really. They try and avoid admitting it, but when asked and they answer candidly, they'll be like, yeah, we don't agree with this.
Right. Right, of course.
Of course that's the case. You know, have you seen the opinion polls that they give? It's like 99% don't agree.
Right, exactly. And so this is, you're starting to see this realisation dawning on a few members of the Green Party of, hang on, these people actually have nothing in common with us, and we're just the latest line of useful idiots, right, that are just being used as a vehicle. But of course, you get people like Adnan, independent, very, very independently minded, MP for, Blackburn, says, I'm following this dilemma being faced by Mothin with great interest. It's no secret that Muslims tend to be socially conservative. Is there space on the left to create a broad enough church to allow Muslims an authentic space, just as it does with all other minority groups? So it's like, okay, but a broad church for socially conservative people in the Green Party.
This is a wonderful can of worms that has been opened. Also, I like the slight Palpatine-esque introduction to this comment as well. I'll watch your career with great interest.
Absolutely. And so, but it's also just farcical, of course, because it's like, well, is there room for an authentic space for Muslims? Yes. Good news, Adnan. There
51 is. 51 countries.
They call it the Muslim world. Wee. And there are many, many countries with many, many beliefs in it similar to yours. Now, of course, this is not me suggesting that because Adnan is not British, because he doesn't support progressive values, as we know, having progressive values is not actually a litmus test as to whether or not one is or is not British.
Because I am British, but I do not have progressive values.
Right. Also, you know, that great age of Victorian homophobia. None of them were British, of course, because the attitude to gays
was
different then.
British were created in 1997 by a Blair government white paper.
Yes.
Created by committee.
Yes.
Made them in the lab. Yes. And so, obviously, it's come twice. So, you've obviously got a lot of leftists having to now debate this. And Bastani's dipping in here saying, lots of responses to this. Ultimately, social conservative is such a broad term, it becomes meaningless.
Well, that's not true, is it?
Well, I know.
It's not that broad. It sort of implies certain beliefs about certain things that you wouldn't have got if it hadn't been used.
So, right.
As ever, though, the rest of this is Aaron Bastani at war with his alter ego, Aaron Bastani, who continually threatens to emerge.
He's like a political two-face, not in a pejorative sense, but just that he's at war with either side of himself constantly. So he occasionally comes out with very sensible things. It's surprising.
Yeah. But obviously, if this... my personal opinion is that there's been this ongoing... discussion, hasn't it? Almost like, you know, a bookie's bet over the years as to who is going to come out on top of this. Is it going to be the Rainbow Brigade? Or is it going to be the Muslims?
It's going to be the Muslims.
Exactly. because they're going to be much more determined to assert their moral worldview, and they have a much stronger collective sense of identity against all of their "I'm just an individual,"
mm-hmm.
you know, people in the Green Party. And so what you see here is the ongoing domination of the Green Party by the Muslim sect within it. And it is, of course, going to start eating into it more and more and forging the trajectory of it as time goes on. I'm sure at some point it will simply be renamed the Gaza Party. The problem is, of course, that we already have one of those now. I believe it's called Your Party.
No, it's Your Party.
What?
Your Party.
It might be.
Could be.
I don't know.
Jeremy Corbyn's top guy.
I have met him before, you know.
Have you?
Yeah, long time ago. Over 10 years ago, actually.
Bet that was fun.
It was a bit weird, yeah.
Yeah. So, all of this influence now, obviously with Corbyn's party coming, it's very strange. It's going to be, well, I mean, the Green Party is going to be made even more irrelevant than they already were, because you can only imagine that a lot of the Green voters, who really have no ideological difference with Corbyn whatsoever, are simply going to see Corbyn's party, see that it just has greater electoral chances.
It's also a purer message.
Yeah.
You don't have to potentially have to rubbish about with all of the Green extra right. messaging on top of it. Corbyn's party does seem to be specifically almost entirely one issue from the messaging that I've seen coming from them thus far.
Right. Well, also, I saw a... It's not on here, but I saw a video from Mothin where, to show his Green Party credentials, he was just going about just picking up some litter and putting it in the bin. And I would only suggest that he might want to have a word with a lot of the ghettos in Birmingham.
Well, I was going to say...
And ask them to do the same thing.
See, where we're from, you tend to learn that skill when you're about 2 or 3. And have it reinforced into you even... Like, my daughter's not even 2 yet, but she will pick up rubbish about the house and literally come and hand it to me so that I can put it in the bin. We don't typically wait until we're in our mid-30s to develop these skills.
No, not at all. And so... But Adnan goes on to say, it's like, well, beyond Muslims and Christians, we have to address the assumption that working class values fit neatly with the ever-evolving left. I represent an economically deprived working class town. The values and concerns of my constituents matter to me more than ideological uniformity. It was Baz. It was working class Baz who put Adnan into Parliament as an MP.
Was it?
According to Adnan.
Also,
he's the most trustworthy fellow I've ever seen.
Obviously. I really dislike the term working class values because in Britain at the minute, there's a massive divide within the native working class politically, isn't there?
There is.
I mean, they're quite prone to supporting reform, but also many working class people support Labour. So to say it's working class values, well, it's just a rhetorical
device. I would say many of those working class types still voting Labour are still voting for them on the basis of an idea of old Labour.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, which was much more socially conservative than it is today. Mm-hmm. And even then, if we remember last year in the lead up to the election, Starmer was kind of going in parts of his targeted campaigns where he was kind of stealthily trying to imply that, oh, we're old Labour again. Look at all of these English people in our advertisements in particular constituencies. We're going to be an English party again, unlike those damn multicultural Tories.
To be fair, the Labour Party front bench is a lot whiter than the Tory party. One of them always has been.
Well, yeah, there is some truth to it, but in terms of the policies that they pursue, they're the same.
Absolutely.
They are the same.
Absolutely. But the point here is that all of a sudden, this really kicks things up. Because you have here some Greek socialist woman, I've seen her on GB News once or twice, but she says, well, the difference with a homophobic working class man and you is that I can call the homophobic working class man a bigot and he'll take it like a man.
She is so attracted to that working class bigot. She can't help but love him.
She loves Richard Sharp, does our Stella.
Subdue me, please, Baz.
This is the biggest shout out to working class bigots I've ever heard.
Stella enjoys her working class lads drinking Stella.
And then she'd say, oh, you on the other hand demand to be treated like a victim and extended the dignity conferred to blah blah blah, basically saying you're a bitch.
Yeah,
I understand the point she's making, Adna. She is right.
Yeah,
she is also correct on the point that no other group, because no other group, minority group, such as Christians at this point in Britain, would ever say, oh, well, can we carve out this little section of a progressive party for ourselves so we can still be authentic in our socially conservative ideals? Not, of course, that there's much social conservatism in the Church of England these days, but you take my point. It's the arrogance and... genuine will to power in the Muslim vote, in the Muslim bloc, that is just asserting itself so forthrightly here, that it thinks it can ask for this and actually achieve it.
It's also a bit of a strategic error, because if you make your in-group preference nakedly visible, it makes people not want to cooperate with you. And, you know, were things to continue, tensions to worsen, perhaps people would be like, well, I'm not going to work with you because you're only going to be out for yourself, which... you know, doesn't matter what ideology you have, that impedes cooperation, doesn't it? Or whatever religion you have.
It does. And so you get Azam here, classic British man. I encourage British Muslims to read some of the replies. It's a microcosm of how Muslim alignment membership on the left is heavily conditional on passing the ideological purity test. Yes, being in a left-wing party requires left-wing ideology.
In fact... it was pretty normal for people who joined political parties which they were ideologically opposed to for a laugh, like people who tried to vote for Corbyn. A lot of them got kicked out, didn't they? Or at least they tried to or wanted to. And that's been a thing for ages and pretty normal, actually.
As you called it, they're just using it as a vehicle.
Yes.
Because the kind of values that members of the Green Party hold dictates that they have to have multicultural values as well. Therefore be tolerant and inviting and inclusive to those of outside cultures, and they're just taking advantage of that, and they're not even hiding it. They're like, literally, just let us take over the party.
Yes,
we will turn it into something completely different to what it's supposed to be, except we'll keep a bit of the imagery that you want. We'll post pictures of a green countryside with an Islamic call to prayer over it.
Yep.
And that's all you get.
To belabor the...
And maybe I'll pick up the litter one day.
Yeah.
To belabor the vehicle metaphor, what the Muslims want is a Toyota pickup. You know what I mean. And obviously the Greens want, hybrid or electric vehicle. They're two very different directions. They're very different things. And at the end of the day, what the Muslims want is to expand their influence in the West, isn't it? And to expand Islam. That's the main thing.
The thing is, you could say it's like, oh, it's clever politicking, but it's really not.
No, it's not.
Because they're just saying exactly what they think is that we are Islamic, we are Muslims, we have Muslim values, we will not change for you, we will pick up a bit of litter every now and again, but that's all you're getting. And the Greens are going... but they're such a valuable part of our coalition.
God, they really support us on Gaza.
Yeah, we really need to find some way of winning them around. And until then, I guess we'll just have to let them lead the party.
I mean, to their credit, they are a lot more transparent about what they want. Like, a lot of the time, they are quite honest about it when asked. It's one of the things that people think...
You say that, Josh, but let's not forget this entire... outrage on Twitter was not started by him saying, yeah, I actually just hate gays. It was started by him saying, well, I don't really want to sign up to these pledges that everyone...
Yeah, but an exception. That's very slimy.
Everyone can see there's some nudge.
Well, no, exactly, but I'm saying it's not honest. It's not upfront. It's not forthright. It is, as Stella points out, he's not taking it like a man. He's not doing it like Baz.
Being a snake.
Yeah. There's no simple as.
Baz would just tell you, just doesn't like him.
Yeah, simple as. But he's not saying that. So, and then it's like this overtly racist discourse about Muslims on the left and LGBT rights is a false flag and should be called out.
That's not what a false flag means.
That's part of the ridiculousness. It's like the most senior Muslim leader in the UK, I assume he means referring to Sadiq Khan, ran the most LGBT-friendly nation alongside the most left-wing party with parliament.
The nation of London.
Is that a little bit of a Freudian slip there?
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is indeed. And so, but you can see them. They're starting to go, hang on. Are we on the same side here?
And look at this top reply here saying, I'm not going to lie, Sadiq Khan is an exception, not an example. Oh, but no, I was talking about Humza Yousaf. Aha!
Ah.
Aha! Okay, Humza Yousaf.
The nation of Scotland.
The nation of Scotland, who, again, as soon as the 7th of October happened and all of a sudden Gaza started getting bombed into dust, he turns around and turns into his number one priority. I've got family over in Gaza, like any true Scotsman does.
Right. Well, exactly that. And so you have this, this growing tension that you can see playing out before you within the more radically progressive parties in the United Kingdom. Truth be told, I don't think that if they all flock over to Corbyn, I don't think Corbyn will care about the contradictions at all, in the same way that the Green Party obviously didn't care about the contradictions.
Riddled with them himself, isn't he?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's Corbyn and the other four independents, isn't it, who have all backed him in this. And Zara the Sultana as well. But other than that, so just for the record, I stand with all marginalised communities, including the LGBT people. Until today, I didn't think I'd heard of some chap whose post was deleted above this. So again, I'll just give the lip service. Just give the lip service.
Just for the record, I did not sleep with that woman.
Yep.
Monica Lewinsky has nothing to do with me. I did not do it.
So it's you can see tensions boiling in all of these parties now, and I think it's a pretty foregone conclusion, to be honest, as to which one is going to win. I've just realised that the screens are off.
Yeah, we don't have any screens on.
I can turn mine on, I think. I hope.
Okay.
Still remember the old ways. I got it. Would you like me to do the Rumble Rants? Yeah, oh, I've knocked over Ireland.
Josh became aging Giga Chad for a moment there. I still remember the old way. While you do that, I'm going to quickly strip because it's very warm in here.
I'm going to lock eyes with you the whole time.
Bam, 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 bam.
He's not feeling awkward. It's not working. Bam, bam, bam. That's a random name.
Get me going.
That's a random name. Says, Luca, this is for you. I have a dinghy full of enriched... Oh, no, I can't read that.
That's a random name Fed posting again. That's his favourite pastime.
That's
Rumble.
That's a random Fed post.
Yeah.
You get good value for your dollar, I must say. Sigil Stone says, the values of the working class align with us. Isn't that right, working class? Camera pans to working class on their knees with masked men holding machetes to their throats. Yes, of course. That is very true. Habsification says, after the re-migration policy, for those that stay need to be linguistic, cultural, tribal, and genetic integration and assimilation like Carl or Cole Palmer.
Which one's Cole Palmer?
No, he's one of the footballers. I didn't even realise he had any foreign ancestry.
It's the brown eyes that give it away.
Harry missed his chance with Monica Lewinsky. Close but no cigar.
Not my type.
I get that. To be fair, when your wife is Hillary Clinton, you kind of have to have sexual relations with that woman.
Younger Hillary Clinton, though.
I'm sorry, but it's Hillary Clinton.
It's worth a negging.
Listen, the problem with Hillary Clinton is that...
she's Hillary Clinton.
Bill didn't keep a tight enough leash on her. He let her get above her station. That's her problem.
That's true. But anyway, Japan... So, obviously, when I was at Lotus Eaters, it was no mystery that I covered a lot of Japanese politics, and I'm going to be doing the same again now I'm back, and it's actually some positive news. It seems like there's a good development in Japan, and I wanted to talk about it, as well as highlight some of the ways in which Japan is different to the West, because I've covered a lot of how they're similar in lots of my other coverage. I don't actually have any of the things I need. Thank you.
Why did you give it to him? You should let him flail.
Right.
Punishment.
Punish the audience as well.
For denying us your presence.
That's actually surprisingly nice.
It's only limited now.
I'm sure it was his own reward, wasn't
it? First Callum, now you.
But anyway, I've covered lots of stuff in Japan, talking about all the problems that immigration has caused, giving them a cautionary tale, all of that sort of stuff. And it went so far as to the point where the Japanese were translating it. This is
such a bizarre image.
Yes, hearing... a very high-pitched thing. It almost got 500,000 views as well. Nice. My favourite thing is...
Probably more than your actual video, to be honest.
In the comments, one of the Japanese people refers to Dan as the Bearded Baron, which I think is a...
That was hard, yeah.
Excellent nickname.
That's great.
But if you want to support our work, what you can do is go over to our shop at lotuseaters.com and get the new copy of Islander.
Do we do international delivery to Japan, Samson? Because this will probably get translated as well.
We do.
So yeah, there you go.
You can buy our magazine. It's replete with some wonderful artwork, some wonderful articles. Many of you know this will be a bespoke collector's item soon enough. Mm-hmm. They do sell for a lot on the internet, much higher than the asking price. And for full disclosure, I did get given a free copy, which is not really surprising. Come on, I worked here for years.
Minimum bribe level, one Islander magazine.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be worth so much. Forget investing in gold, invest in Islander magazine.
Yeah, Josh has got a stockpile of them.
I've got crates full of them.
So that's why they couldn't get their issue twos.
Yeah, I just hoarded them.
It's like limiting the supply of diamonds.
They will never catch on, Harry. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about is the Sanseito party, and they've done pretty well. I know Bo covered the election about a week ago, so I'm going to go over it quickly just so we're all on the same page, but ever so brief. The party was only founded in 2020, and they claim to take inspiration from the Alternative for Deutschland, or AfD, in Germany. France's, National Rally,
yes,
in English.
Those ones.
It's like Reassemblement National, which is a right mouthful, really. And of course, Reform in Britain, and most of all, Donald Trump.
I hope they're not modelling themselves on Reform.
Well, I'm hoping, and this is exactly what I was going to get onto in a second, that some of the nuances have been lost in translation, and that they're just looking at, these are some right-wing parties that get flack, and we want to see how they have grown successful. So they want to copy the methods and not the ends, I'm hoping.
I mean, from what I've seen of this guy, because I was reading an article about him the other day, he's gone much further in the kind of rhetoric
he has
than any of those parties that you have named
because
so far.
I would argue that Reform and some of the others as well, there have been some things that Trump has done that's very much disappointed me. The Epstein stuff is a pretty easy one to underline, as well as the rates of deportation are pretty low. I thought it'd be higher by now.
But not Obama rates yet, as far as I'm aware.
No, he's not even to Obama's levels yet. But one thing that Japan does have, which Europe and the US does not, is more time to fix the problem. Because only 3% of the population is foreign-born at the minute. And all of this only really started for Japan around November of 2023, when a number of NGOs leveraged Japan's high debt-to-GDP ratio to impose more third-world immigration on them. And so they've not really had this for nearly as long. You know, Britain's had it since...
Which NGOs were those?
1997. Quite a few. You know, it's like UN organisations, yes, as well as lots of others. Interesting, isn't it? There's a whole rabbit hole to go down there, which... is an own segment all on its own. So this party, following this, won a seat in the 2022 House of Councillors, which is the equivalent of, you know, the Senate in the US, or an upper house in a bicameral parliament. And that allowed them to become an official party because they won more than 2% of the vote, and that's the threshold you've got to meet to become one in Japan. So they only started in 2020, they were already getting seats. Then in 2024, they gained 3 seats out of 465 in the House of Representatives. Again, it's equivalent to the US. And then following the recent 2025 House of Councillors election, which is the one that Bo, I think, covered, they held 15 House of Councillors seats. Of course, they had one already, so they gained 14, which is a pretty meteoric rise, really, when you think about it. Look at Reform. They've been around for a similar sort of amount of time. They keep on losing their parliamentarians because they keep on leaving or getting kicked out. But they're making much better gains than them in much shorter space of time, with a much more favourable time frame. So it's actually looking quite positive if this trend continues. And it is worth mentioning that recent election, the Prime Minister stayed on. It was a coalition of liberals, basically.
Our face.
He doesn't look too happy,
he looks
though.
Miserable.
Yeah, they did lose their majority in the upper house of their parliament. So let's talk a bit more about this party, because they have been pushing in a very interesting direction. They're referring to him as a mini Trump, the leader of the party. And yes, he's the founder and the secretary general as well. So that's how you know that they're staying true, is that one of the founders is still involved, although some of the other founders did leave because of some COVID stuff and US election stuff. Mm. Which I can't repeat because it will get us in trouble with YouTube, as always. And I did see this, so I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. So I'm just going to read it and then we can talk about it. So on July 19th, the final day of the election campaign, an audience of approximately 20,000 people packed in Shiba Park at the base of Tokyo Tower, which is lit up in orange, to listen intently to the man's speech. Make me a dictator like Hitler. I don't think any other dictator who cares so much about his party members, right? And I looked at this online because I thought that's a touch of a strong statement, I would say.
I know they were part of the Axis, but... Yeah.
I mean, to you know, try and attempt to understand what he means here, parts of Asia, I think, miss the taboo of declaring yourself like him, and they look at it from a sense of, well, he was very loyal to the people who were loyal to him, wasn't he? Well,
was it,
although not really.
Was it Iraq that Callum was in recently, where they had a restaurant called Hitler Burger?
Yes.
That he wanted to go to, but sadly it was shut by the time he got there.
Basically, anywhere to the east of Greece has a very different view of the bad man, the mid-century bad man. So one thing it's worth mentioning, I went and did a lot of digging. It's the only mention of him saying this is in this article, and this is a somewhat tabloidy publication.
Right.
So who knows, maybe it's a source, maybe only they picked up on it, or maybe he was making a joke. Who knows? Maybe he is genuine and he's the next.
And for all we know, that might have just been a little offhanded jokey comment, like you say.
I don't know. But I wanted to include it for the sake of transparency.
It is funny.
So return to the shogunate.
Yes, this is their party taking a march through, I believe it's Tokyo. And you may notice something. This is against Kurds, who I've covered before, have caused them lots of problems. Some of these flags are not...
Only 3,000 of them.
There's not very many.
Yeah.
Some of these flags are not like the others. Can you notice the difference?
Yeah, one appears to... have a rising, you know, sort of more of a glowy aesthetic to it. It shines brighter, more fiercely than the others.
It looks cooler.
It does look cooler. I will give them that. But it might add some weight to the reference to the German bad man. And yes, I thought that was interesting. But what I think is far more interesting than simply carrying those flags, which I think it's okay to do that. You know, we forgive you. It was long time ago. And even though you nearly killed my grandfather in that conflict, I will allow you to fly that flag again, personally. I've given you my grace, and so you don't need to feel bad about it, okay? You only need to feel guilty for your own sins. And there is this. The third most popular party in Japan, Sanseito, has drafted a constitution that would restore power to the emperor, replace individual rights with national duties, and restrict foreigners from long-term residency, land ownership, and welfare benefits. I've got to say, that last part is my favourite. Mm. Power to the emperor makes me feel like I'm going to be in a sinking ship in Singapore again, and history will repeat itself. But, yes, this is all, I think, very necessary. Oh, island is falling down.
Not Rory.
This is all very necessary to restore a sense of nationhood to Japan. Not to say that it's been deprived from them in the same way that it has in the Western world, the other Western countries. But I think that there's still a great unspoken shame that hangs over Japan for their behaviour in World War II. Mm. And it's to the point whereby if you even mention it, people get funny about it. And I think that embracing your past a little bit more is more healthy, because having something that's unspoken, and, you know, we don't talk about that, even though it's essential for defining who we are today, that's not healthy. And it's not a good way to promote growth into the future. And I think that this sort of thing is necessary to just accept that, well, it's going a little bit further than accepting it. But it's embracing the Japan of the past to a certain degree that I think is necessary. And I wanted to read through some of what it's actually going to do in detail.
If I might just say before you do, one of the things that I personally admire most about Japan is that after the 300-year period of isolation, when the Americans finally arrived and basically said, you are opening up to the rest of the world, you are going to trade, we are going to force you to change, that Japan, still under that force and threat, was able to emerge with an identity that did embrace modernity, but was still able to keep some essence of its own philosophy and what it believes. And one of the things that we are constantly threatened by is exactly that, that force of change, simply being told that this is your future. You are going to become a part of the global system. And anything that you might feel as regards to your own identity or heritage or something idiosyncratic to your own personal heritage and way of life has to go, is an inconvenience. And Japan, yeah, sure, there was some dodgy stuff in there, I'm not going to deny it, but like, it's come out of that. And even whatever you think of Japan nowadays, it still has its very own national character. And I think that that's something that we should undoubtedly learn from. And so I don't really see this.
Well, the thing is, even with all of the flattening of culture that happens under a globalist economy, for instance, if we were still, like, across the country, even in our big cities, majority English, the English national character would still shine through because it's simply the way that Englishmen naturally behave themselves. Yes. And that's what you can see even in some of the more rural, majority English parts of the country.
Very true.
The English are still going about like the English do. The difference between us and them is, as Josh has pointed out, they still have a very, very small foreign population, whereas there are major parts of this country that have been completely swamped with diversity. And so what happens then is you get the great grey sludge of multiculturalism, because then you get all of these varying different ethnic groups trying to basically work with and at the same time avoid one another. And this leads to the flattening of culture that we see in places like Birmingham or London, or in those cases perhaps even the replacement of culture, because simply the replacement of the populations mean that the people who are there now are completely different, they behave completely different, and so the cities are completely different.
Back to the restoration of the Japanese Empire, I'm going to read some of the some of the details that they're proposing. And of course, they are, I think, the third largest party in at least the upper house. And so this isn't insignificant. This could be the direction that Japan takes if they carry on growing as they seem to. So the unfortunately, this is paywalled, but I was able to read it. So you're just going to have to take my word for it. But it is in this article that I'm reading from. It was a much better explanation, because some of the nuances of the original thing they published were a bit lost on me because I am not fluent in Japanese. Says the imperial system, the role of the emperor is clarified by declaring him the head of state. And to end the debate, only male heirs of the male line can succeed the throne. Pretty, you know. Obviously, the emperor being head of state again is significant. It's a bit of a defiance against the Americans, although these days I don't think they'll mind so much. Society. The family is the foundation of the society, and the state should provide strong support for families through access to free education, direct financial assistance for children. The state must provide various options in compulsory education. I don't particularly like all of this. The state must do all these things. It's up to the people to do it. You shouldn't have the government doing this sort of thing, but it's a different culture. I think in Japan they're more accepting of dependence, that being a quirk of collectivism, than perhaps we are. So it might be more suitable there than it is here, to add a bit of a caveat on my opinion. Compulsory education will include the Japanese language, classical literature, history and mythology, moral education, martial arts, political participation, and to end another debate issue, marriage will be defined as a union between a man and a woman, and the husband and wife will be required to have the same surname. That last part I approve of. Very good. Japan should strive for 100% self-sufficiency in food, seeds and fertilisers. That's great.
Makes perfect sense.
It does. They had a recent rice shortage, which pushed up the prices to unprecedented levels. They're also saying Japanese citizens are free to select their healthcare, and the government is required to fully and publicly disclose all matters related to health, including information on pesticides, medicines and food additives. Again, that's great. political participation. They want to lower the voting age down to 16, actually, which is surprising.
But maybe they're experiencing a similar thing to us, where there's a great political divide in the younger generation.
I wouldn't be surprised, because they got started largely online, as many sort of new right-wing movements often do. And so I imagine they're probably doing quite well with the younger audience. And they've also said one statement, and this is what the article says, which no legal expert would accept, well, change it, defines a Japanese citizen as someone who has a Japanese father or mother, whose mother tongue is Japanese and whose heart cherishes Japan, which is a lovely turn of phrase.
Very, very good.
And I like that. I want that to be you know, our standard for a British citizen as well. You've got to have British blood. You've got to be fluent in English. Or maybe Welsh or Gaelic Scots if you've really got to push it.
But your heart must cherish England.
I'm not going to do that to the Scots and the Welsh. Cherish your own constituent parts.
This is Britain. Mm-hmm. Cherish Britain.
They also want all things that could be, you know, part of self-defence. All industries like, you know, communications, electric, water, gas and the likes, either be state-owned or 100% domestically owned. That's very important and very free market, but that is a good amendment, actually, and I think a good idea. And then finally, best to last, foreign residents. Land cannot be sold or transferred to non-resident foreign nationals or investors. Good idea. Naturalised foreign residents, along with their children and grandchildren, are prohibited from holding public office or becoming public officials. Oh, music to my ears. The Constitution does not address international marriages, but since citizenship is passed from either a Japanese mother or father, this ban likely applies if both parents are foreign nationals. And this hasn't had the effect that you might think with the foreigners living in Japan. For example, here is a Swede who's come out in support of... this new party, which whose slogan is, you know, Japan first, following in Trump's footsteps, although I don't think they're sending nearly as much money to Israel. What?
There is something beautifully comical about this image.
It does look a little bit out of place, doesn't it? It sort of looks like an albino. Like,
it looks to me like we was samurai.
The white foreigner character in a like shogun TV series.
A little bit, but it only makes sense to me that somebody who appreciates Japanese culture so much that he would be willing to move over there and try and get citizenship would look around and recognize that he doesn't want it to change. And you know, good on him for potentially even sacrificing his own place in that society to make sure that it doesn't change. I think that's that's a very honorable way of going about it.
I agree.
He's an honorable man. But anyway, I quickly wanted to go over something, and I'm aware I've been going on for a long time, so I'm just going to fire through it. I've covered the problems caused by Kurds and other Muslim minorities. I've covered that Africans are now in Japan and baffled by their way of living and causing lots of problems. I've also mentioned...
The menace.
Yes, the streamer menace, I've covered that. I've also mentioned the tensions with the Chinese. You've become associated with sort of taking advantage of the Japanese's generous system for their own gain to a certain extent. There was a big example of, I think it was the Chinese, hoarding rice in warehouses to resell for more money later on down the line. And yes, there have been lots of cases of Vietnamese people who actually we do get in Britain. I think they're the 10th largest group of boat people we get across the channel, which is counterintuitive because they've come probably the furthest.
It's a hell of an odyssey.
It is, yes. I'm not surprised they're not keen to go to America, but it's a bit of a stretch to come here.
I thought it was Cambodians associated with boat people from that part of the world.
Them too, yes. Both, well, the Cambodians are also sort of in an equivalent boat, so to speak, pardon the pun. But there are things like this. 32-year-old Vietnamese man is arrested on suspicion of sexually assaulting a woman. He is basically a woman in her 20s. This happened overnight after I prepared my segment yesterday. So this was hot off the press. And then there's another one here. Japanese man, Vietnamese man, 24, broke into an old lady's house and stabbed her, oh no, a lady and her elderly mother, sorry, in Saga Prefecture. Two Vietnamese men have been arrested. Obviously, this is a brutal kind of crime that they're not used to. And nor are we, for that matter. And apparently he was in Japan on a technical internship that is used to help people from disadvantaged countries. And so it's a perfect example of how helping poor countries actually doesn't help you or them. It just makes things worse for everyone. And that sounds sort of harsh and callous, but actually the best thing they can do is help themselves, because then they actually learn how to create a civilization rather than parasitizing those who've already established one. And here's another one. Two Vietnamese men have been arrested for stealing approximately 2.9 tons of copper wire. They're stealing...
What are they, the gypsies of East Asia or something?
Apparently so, yes. Stealing copper wire is still a very lucrative, low criminal act, apparently, all across the world. Vietnamese welder, 21, was arrested for stabbing another Vietnamese man, 25, in the stomach. Police suspect there may have been trouble between... Really? There might have been trouble. He stabbed him in the stomach. But anyway, in an unrelated incident, two Vietnamese men were arrested for smuggling ketamine in shoes.
I had no idea the Vietnamese were such a menace in Japan.
Mm. Apparently
so. Do you have any per capita figures?
I do not. I wasn't able to find any. But if I do,
I'll
let you know.
If they're out there letting Josh know so he can use it for a future segment.
Yes, any per capita statistics at all, just send them my way. I love them. They're my favourite. I'll put them on my wall.
Out of pure scientific curiosity.
Yes, mostly. And then there was this. ANN reports on recent crimes by Vietnamese in Japan. Those who come to work in Japan on trainee visas are stuck in a single job, unable to switch employers if conditions are terrible. Some quit and engage in illegal work to send remittances to family. So this may well be the root of why the Vietnamese are doing this. And in Britain, the Vietnamese are associated with coming over illegally, and then they get trapped in sort of this modern world slavery by foreign gangs and used as basically forced to grow cannabis in some of the growing operations, which is kind of horrible that they've just become slaves. Yeah,
and they victimize Japanese people who, by the sounds of it, outside of this all taking place on their land, have very little to do with any of this.
Yeah,
brilliant.
So this is not a problem that either Britain or Japan should have to put up with. And there's also other people as well. This was unusual. My daughter was licked on the thigh. Ugh. Mother calls the police after high school girl is the victim of an obscene act on a train station platform where a Nepalese national licked her thigh for whatever reason. And his excuse was, "I don't understand Japanese."
Bit strange. Or consent.
Apparently not. And the Nepalese, that's a form of British colony. I think they're aware that this sort of thing is wrong. I think they know that this is weird and strange. And so, yes, this person's obviously trying to weasel his way out of the responsibility for his own actions. And then there's this as well. The JEET program, which rather than having English language speakers, they're bussing in lots of Indians, which, of course, as we know in Britain, once they take over, it's there's no going back. Your corner shops will all be staffed by Indians.
And then it's the same in America with the motel industry, where it all just started to fall into Indian hands, and then they would just slowly take over an area with monopoly over all of the motels.
Bring more family over, on and on it goes.
Yep.
And then finally, it's worth mentioning as well that there are people in the legal profession that are saying that you can't legally deport people. It violates their human rights.
Yes, we know these sorts.
So they've already got to this point, and of course we're at that point now. And so hopefully, with all of this going on, with a party that seems to be keen to restore some dignity back to Japan and solve the problems before they spiral out of control like in our country, there is more promise and actually an optimistic direction for Japan, and I really hope that it goes that way.
Before we go to the next one, I just want to highlight, there is something very familiar, even though she's Japanese, about this kind of physiognomy, right? You see this kind of woman in England as well. They look very, very, very similar. I wonder if it's just something in the genes that makes you look like this and have some kind of suicidal outgroup empathy.
Well,
she wouldn't be out of place on a Japanese LBC show.
Yeah.
The same genes that determine your physical appearance determine your behaviour, so it's entirely possible.
It's true.
Got a few rumble rants. The engaged few says, To hell with the Meiji restoration, revive the Tokugawa shogunate. Sigil Stone says, I'd add one more amendment to Japan's constitution. If Nintendo releases another dogshit Legend of Zelda, their executives will be publicly executed. Seems a touch harsh, but I understand.
I was talking about this sort of thing with the with Samson on lunch. We mentioned Mario Kart and the Switch 2 and how it came out with no games on it. And except for Mario Kart World. Why make an open world Mario Kart? What's the point of that? At no point when I've played Mario Kart in the past with friends have I thought to myself, you know what would improve this experience? A pointless 5-minute drive in between each race. Like, what absurdity. That's just, open world games have gone bonkers. They've gone mad. That's my
like Paul Joseph Watson there.
Imagine my shock. Anyway, so last segment, folks, we're almost there.
Way to big it up.
Are you not having fun?
Yeah, I'm having great fun, but this one won't be. This one won't be. So, gentlemen, what do we know is the sign of a healthy society?
Copy of Islander magazine.
Exactly that. Buying a copy of Islander 4, which is now on sale on the website for the low, low price of £14.99.
2 pints in London.
2 pints in London, possibly one double shot with a little bit of splash on top. So if you buy one of these, I can guarantee you it will bring great fortune to your descendants and your family in general. Buy one of these and it will equip you with the kind of knowledge that you could only get from the ancient texts, except it's been brought forward into our modern age. As you can see from here, this image, this is actually a photograph of Rory at work on this, in between editing the articles on his phone, checking his Twitter notifications. Beautiful, beautiful self-portrait. And yes, we do keep him chained in a dark room. Which is why it's all the more important that you buy this copy to make sure that his suffering, and we make sure he suffers, was worth it. And there's also merchandise on the website as well, which I think, is the merchandise out yet, Samson, or is that going out later?
I think
it's not out late.
What I was told, I don't know why I'm telling you about the goings on of Lotus Eaters.
Well, you're clearly more informed than I am.
Apparently, it's the last opportunity to get all of the last batch of merch on the store before it is gone and the new batch is introduced.
And can you buy it still? Let's see. Not found. Oof! Oof! Too late, sucker.
Rory must stay in the dark room.
Anyway, no, there you go. Buy Islander, you cheapskate. Anyway, the future is one of the things that makes for a healthy society. The idea of the future. Subjects of your nation or citizens being aware that they can plan at least a little bit for the future. Long-term thinking, low-time preference. So that you're not only living in the moment, spending all your savings on menial BS right now so that you can get current satisfaction. You want to save for the future, not just for yourself, but for your posterity as well. Well, if we actually look into what's going on in England and the UK broadly about whether people are planning for the future or not, it doesn't look too great.
I'm living it.
Yes, it doesn't look too great. And there are a number of reasons for this, but this is an article from the BBC that caught my eye called Why I'm Not Paying Into a Pension. And yes, all of the people featured in this article are foreigners. We've got an Argentinian, we have somebody who's called Saira Amir, and a Bangladeshi. However, I do not think that their experiences they're describing here are necessarily unrepresentative of the mindset of most younger people in the UK, especially.
I'm not paying into a pension. I mean, and I wasn't before I was unemployed either. So, yeah. When I was at Lotus Eaters, I never paid into a pension because I couldn't afford it.
So
it's a luxury.
We do have a Brokenomics from Dan on pensions, which goes into detail on how they work, how they're a little bit of a pyramid Ponzi scheme where you're taking, the government has had it set up so that you're taking money from generations of today and giving it to yesterday's generations as kind of like a wealth transfer from the young to the old, because all of the pension money that the older people put into their pension pots got spent by the government. which is a great way of managing your economy, if you ask me, is just spend, spend, spend. And because of that, pensions aren't themselves necessarily amazing, because the likelihood is that when we all get to the age where we can actually start taking from our pensions, the money might just not be there, the same as it is with the boomers right now. But it's not just the pensions themselves. There is a distinct lack of any savings whatsoever going on with these people, and you can listen to the reasons that they give. So this person, Mohamed, again, he's foreign, but I don't think this is necessarily unrepresentative of the way people...
Harry, you're right calling now. Me out here.
Is saying that the reason that he's not paying into a workplace or private pension is because he's worried more about surviving day to day than worrying about the future. So what does that tell us? It tells us that they are not actually saving any money on the side privately either, because it doesn't just have to be a pension. You can get yourself a savings account, a cash ISA, stocks and shares, etc. You can put your money aside so that it can gather interest and pay you out more in the future, hopefully in line with inflation. That's not what's going on here. These people are probably living paycheck to paycheck, and for younger people especially, that's probably something that is going to feel very, very familiar to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And it says as well, this is from a recent government report, which is showing that half, almost half of working age adults aren't paying into a private or workplace pension. Low earners and women are less likely to have their own pension. And of people of foreign extraction, particularly Pakistani and Bangladeshi, only one in four of them do. But that, to be fair, that might be because their savings is actually the remittances that they're sending back home. So that might have something to do with it. But either way, it does show an overall trend, which is that people aren't saving. And why wouldn't you save? Well, it's because you think that the money that you save now either won't be worth enough in the future to actually make saving it worth it, or you just don't have the ability to save because everything is so expensive right now. You've got bills, you've got electricity, you've got mortgages, you've got rent, you've got food shopping, you've got all sorts of things that will continually drain from whatever you get at the end of the month in your pay packet. So there's no point. There's no point. And the way that this is really manifesting is mainly in housing, because we've covered time and time and time again, house prices are absolutely insane. These people are saying things like, even if I do get a good job with good pension benefits, I'd rather save for a deposit or a house. I'll try to get 30 to 50K in my bank account. I think that's more important than anything else.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and that is a lot of money just for a deposit on a house. And later on in the article, it says as well, let me see if I can find it.
That must be London prices if you need that for a deposit on a house, right?
Yeah, I believe that they were in London, but still, it's going to be a lot of money for a deposit for a decent house these days, unless you take on a part ownership scheme. But even then, if you do that, the mortgage that you're paying off is only going to be for a fraction of the actual overall equity of the house. You'll own 40% of it.
It blows my mind, actually, that these people come over with very little and then choose to live in London, one of the most expensive cities in the world to live in. You know, even British people with some degree of inherited wealth struggle to live in London to a certain degree. So how on earth are they able to make ends meet?
Well, my experience of living in London for 4 or 5 years. Yeah, well, God, aged me terribly. But when I was there,
he's actually 19 years old.
The thing was that I was on a pretty low-end job, and it was just a case of, well, you pay your rent, and then everything else, as you say, there's nothing to save.
You've got
by the end of the month. You're just living month to month.
And what that does, the repetition of it, the familiarity of that, breeds that mindset. So even when you're out of that circumstance, you're going to have this almost reflex response saying, well, I've got money, but I can't save the money, so I should get what I can with it right now. So
yep.
It breeds that kind of habit into people.
Very
once
true.
They've lived it long enough, and you've got to break yourself out of that habit when you have enough money. Or, as happens with many people, the more money that you have, the more expenses you have.
And now I have been set free because I'm in Swindon.
Yes, which is still a complete
its own
rip-off.
Kind of prison, really.
Yeah, but those without private or workplace pension may have to rely on state pensions, which you get after 35 years of qualifying national insurance contributions to get a full state pension. So we'll see if any of these people are still here in 35 years to claim on such a thing. But the what you get for that is £230.25 per week, which is about 11 £1,973 per year currently.
It's not livable, really.
You can't live on that.
It's a subsidy more than anything.
Yeah, and this says the annual income needed for a minimum retirement living standard. So this is still living in squalor, but you won't necessarily starve to death immediately, is £13,400 a year. And I don't know how you'd live on that anyway, but that's what the statistics are saying here. I'll take it at face value. Either way, it means that you can't live. You can't live on such a thing. And people aren't saving. So how are they going to live? Well, they're going to live in the moment. And when it comes to house buying, there's something interesting, another interesting thing that I found, which is that certain people are beginning to try to take money off of the mortgage they have to pay by actually aiding with the building of the houses. And there is something kind of sweet and community focused around this. But I think that the incentive for doing it is completely backwards. They're doing it because they have to take 10 grand off of a mortgage, which can make a fair difference.
Sure.
Especially with all of the interest that's added onto mortgages over the years. So 10K could turn into a lot more than 10K in interest. So that's a big help to them. But you should want to do something like this because the culture that you live in is community focused and you innately want to help the people around you to build a community. Because people used to do this sort of thing all the time back when we were more future minded. You recognized that your posterity was important, that community that you built would have a lasting legacy. And so you helped the other people in your community to build lasting homes.
But back then we could reap what we sowed.
Exactly.
In a you know, largely agrarian society, that's also a literal claim as well. And at the minute, who can say that actually working hard pays off? Is there any reason to work hard and be successful in Britain? Because there's such a low ceiling on how successful you can be that what's the point? You know, there's no point in saving money. There's no point in working hard because at the end of the, not to sound too depressed here, but at the end of the day, the state is the only one that wins because they're the ones that hoover up all the money. Your average person is going to be in some form of servitude by historic standards.
And then they're forced to watch just illegal arrivals getting put in hotels, right? And it just all adds to that resentment and doomerism.
And even more, their jobs aren't fulfilling anyway, so they don't have a more natural incentive to work hard at their job because a lot of these people will be working bullshit jobs. They'll be working jobs that have no real function other than making sure that you don't have to be on the dole right now. Before we automate away your job, we do kind of need someone filling in spreadsheets and we don't want you on the street or making up dole numbers. So we'll give you this bullshit job right now so that you can have something to do. But you're just filling in spreadsheets. You're filling in spreadsheets with people that you hate. And so what's the incentive to work hard there either? Whereas in the past, you could do something fulfilling, you could reap what you sowed, and you would build a community of like-minded people around you. And you would also be building houses that were built to last, that can last generation upon generation. Now these people, as much as I admire what they're doing, and I think it's good to have a buy-in to where you're living. You can look at it and say, I helped create this. That's great. But ultimately what you're doing is you're taking 10 grand off by helping a new build contract company build shit boxes. Build Dino shit boxes.
I mean, there is some variation in the quality of new builds, but I wouldn't go for one sort of instinctually because you hear about all the problems of the building quality. And you see these videos of building inspectors and there's like entire walls of the house are like not straight. They're sort of bending outwards like you see those sort of Tudor buildings that we still have start doing with age, but brand new.
Here's a fun one. In a flat that I used to live in, it was a more new build style building. I think it was maybe built 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, right? So we were living in there and we had to take a meter reading for the water gauge. For some reason, the meter was in a drain outside.
They fitted the meter in a drain.
It was either the water or the electric.
It'd be even worse for the electric
meter. One of the meters, I forget exactly which, was in a little drain outside that was filled up with water, so you couldn't get to it and you couldn't see it. We spoke to the building manager about this. They just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, the companies will just do an estimate and charge you on the estimate.
Oh, that's okay then.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, fantastic. It was just such an confusing and absurd situation to be in. But, I mean, that was, you know, years ago when the standards for new build houses were still that they had to be able to stand for 100 years in good quality.
That was back in the golden age.
Now they only have to stand for 50 years in good quality. So they've reduced the standards so that Angela Rayner can make sure that more of the countryside gets paved over for housing estates more quickly.
For foreigners.
Yes. So there's that, which is quite sad. There's also the food prices, as mentioned. So this is a fun one. Rising meat and tea prices have driven up food price inflation for the sixth consecutive month.
I like how they said meat and tea. That's like a targeted attack on the English.
On the English. Oh, beef in particular has risen.
Oh, no.
So my tins of corned beef.
Tea is flying. Food prices rose by 4% in the year to July, up from a 3.7% in the year to June, according to the latest shop price monitor from the British Retail Consortium. The new figures also echo separate research published last week, which found household grocery bills were on course to rise by £275 this year. So that's annual grocery bills, but still £275. Nothing to sniff at, depending on where you live. That might be a full month of council tax.
Yep.
But instead, you're having to spend that on food instead.
That's about what I spend on food in a month. It's like an additional month I've got to feed myself then.
Basically, yes. So that's another thing, which is, again, this is sucking up any money that could have gone into savings. And then there's the immense government waste that our tax money is going on. I mentioned council tax. What do you think people in Greater Manchester are going to be spending their council tax on?
Is it rainbow something? Or is it going to be eco?
The failed ULEZ scheme having all of its signs taken down.
Oh.
Yep. So they put up, a few years ago, 1,300 clean air zone signs, which had to be edited so that they said under review after people complained. And now it's on hiatus, so they're taking all of the signs down, which is going to cost the public £600,000.
That's just excruciating.
Only one of the signs is being repurposed. Like, can you... I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. They say we're going to do this scheme. Actually, we're not going to do this scheme. I imagine it was a similar cost to put all of the signs up in the first place.
Oh, just a black hole of money.
So that's just £1 million or so down the drain to put up and take down some signs. How does it cost £600,000 to take down signs?
This segment is like...
They're not getting paid that.
A way of targetedly... You know, going after everything that makes me annoyed.
Oh, your head might just pop at this next one, Josh.
Oh, I've unintentionally foreshadowed it.
Yes, because this is your next bit, which is, as well as government waste, government bloat. Civil service numbers at 20-year high. Thousands of staff have been hired to Whitehall in the past year, with 75%, let me repeat that, 75% of Whitehall in management roles or above. So it really is managerialism, right? Modern technocratic managerialism is managers hiring other managers that can middle manage other middle managers, all the while siphoning your money for themselves. Let me just go through a bit of this. There were 549,660 civil servants at the end of March, up 7,000 on the same time last year, putting the size of Whitehall to a 20-year high. The civil service has now grown by a third since Brexit.
This is insane.
And pay rose 5% last year. Critics say they are overpromoted as a way of boosting salaries. Really? Who would have guessed? The latest figures show 75% of staff are in management roles or above, compared with 60% a decade ago, still far too much. If everyone is a manager, who is doing the work?
Well, I'd rather they not do the work, to be honest.
Like, but the question is, if 25% of your staff are not management, therefore the people actually doing the work, right?
Some of those are probably cleaners as well.
Yeah, some of those probably cleaners.
Maintaining the building.
Yeah. So why do you need all of this management? other than for the sake of having management so that managers can hire their buddies.
It's also worth mentioning as well, as technology's got better, you should have a smaller civil service, right? You don't need people to do all the letter stuff anymore because it's all online. You know, the age of the internet, the age of technology should mean that you need less and less staff and you make it more efficient. And instead, we've got more civil service per capita than probably ever.
Well, you'd think that that's how it works. It turns out, in reality, no. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works.
Government will bloat out until it can't fit through the door.
Because civil service middle management, everyone's favourite kind of management, the people who really are completely useless, a waste to society, grew 5% last year after doubling over the previous decade. Pay at each rank of the service has fallen significantly in real terms. Oh, poor Whitehall staffers, oh no, poor Whitehall. The overall pay bill is now higher than it was in 2010 as staff become more senior. The figures that there's good news though, guys, there's good news, because the civil service is now far more equitable. The figures do show that civil service is becoming more diverse. Women now make up 49% of the senior civil service, explaining why everything has gone to shit. A record 18% of civil servants are from ethnic minorities, up from 11% a decade ago, while the proportion of disabled staff has doubled to 18% as well.
That's 100% of the civil service, I assume.
Only 18%, but you know, not every disability is visible.
That's less than the average in the country, isn't it? 25%. Across the nation are now disabled in some way because they want that sweet motability car.
Yeah, so we have no future, but thank God the civil service is thriving.
Well, that was bloody dismal.
There you go.
That was the kick in the teeth I needed.
There you go. Josh has decided he's going to move to Japan to become a samurai now.
That's true. I'll be turning the sword on myself if I have it in Britain.
Right, let's read through some of the Rumble rants. That's a random name. Speaking of Nintendo, there used to be a card company 100 plus years ago who were run by the Yakuza. They're still run by them. They just make games for kids now, Lamau.
How wholesome.
Yeah, very wholesome. Sigil Stone. I was trying to come up with a joke about open world Nintendo games, but what franchises of theirs haven't been run into the ground or hasn't suffered the ravages of an open world? Yeah, when it gets to Mario Kart, that's completely ridiculous. It's gone too far. That's a random name. An open mind is like an open world game, empty and gay. King Fucius, the art of Fed posting. That's a random name. You're filling in spreadsheets with people you hate. Bug men aren't people, Harry. I thought you knew better. Well, you know, YouTube terms of service. Sigil Stone, with so many managers, who types, how do we implement communism into ChatGPT? Nicholas, 30. Anne's the only man working in Whitehall right now. That's a random name. Here in Canada, government jobs are full of women, like 80%+, explains a lot. Most of them barely do any work and spend most of their time gossiping and backstabbing one another. The bosses are almost all women too.
Fulfilling lives.
Yes. Who needs a family when you can gossip at the water cooler?
What kind of daycare was it again?
Oh, I forget. International finance, you know.
Good morning, Lotus Eaters. On this last backpacking trip, I visited two beautiful alpine lakes before making the poor decision to stay the night by the third. The first stop was Surprise Lake, which was very active with fish. You could see them from the shore through the crystal clear water. Further up the mountain was Glacier Lake, which was far less popular. And while the mosquitoes weren't the best at the other two lakes, it was the third lake, Deception Lakes, where they were the absolute worst. Hope you guys are having a good week so far.
It's absolutely gorgeous. It is. You're making me feel very jealous. But I've learnt this lesson. I've camped near a lake before and I came back looking like I had chicken pox. So yes, camping near water, although convenient, it's definitely not something you should do because you will get bitten if it's the wrong time of year. You can go up to Scotland and the air is literally thick. You can, it's like soup. You can't even see through it. It's just a black. It's like someone left the static on the TV, except it's all of Scotland.
Hi, guys. You've seen the trailer. Now let me introduce Menix Games. We named ourselves after the island of the Lotus Eaters, and we formed early last year. We have plans for future games, but we really need followers and supporters to raise capital for them. So please check out the website and follow us on our socials, and feel free to play the demo and even join our Discord. We are going to make some awesome based games for you.
Fantastic. I'd like to see.
Yeah, there you go.
Everyone go and follow it on social media.
He's got, you know, he's a one-man army to cure the inability to get a job as a white man in publishing or, well, video games as well. It's going that way too. Hang on a minute. What's
this? Is this a Brainiac Science Abuse reference?
Things that make you go, hmm.
It is.
Yep.
15-year-old Chris Donald was kidnapped on the 15th of March 2004 by five Pakistani men and was eventually restrained, then mortally wounded via stabbing before being set on fire. His murder was an act of revenge, and Chris was chosen because he was white, not because he was involved. This was clearly an organised and premeditated murder, although the police nearly stopped an investigation into Asian gangs to avoid offending ethnic minorities. What makes this case notable is that it was the first conviction for racially motivated murder in Scotland, which is odd because I've always been told that hate crime laws were there to stop white people from
things that make you go, hmm.
That was tonal whiplash.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be fun. What the hell?
It was a murder. But I didn't know about that case, to be fair. And that was very interesting, so thank you.
I mean, that was interesting. But still.
Murder, murder, murder.
Like a box of chocolates.
Both are more fun when you add some steroids. From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was lifting.
Lift, Forrest, lift!
Jenny and me was like carbs and protein. She taught me about macros. I showed her how to bench press. I stopped hanging out with Luke Ken and Dane when I heard he skips leg day.
Did you make that, or did you find that on Instagram or something?
Brilliant, either way.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah. Really, really funny. Are we back to the start? Yep. Okay. So
Lotus Eater's video comments are like a box of chocolates.
You really
never know what you're going to get.
So from my segment, Zesty King says, left-wingers cannot ideologically defend themselves from even their more extreme forms. Many may say they disagree with communism, foreign takeover, and the complete destruction of the only Jewish state, but none can say why. They do not understand the world outside of themselves, and that is why they are weak. Yeah, it's entirely just born out of just their own individual needs for what they think will make their own life better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see this and it's like, oh, no, this entire party, it just needs to exist to defend my gay rights or whatever it is. It's just
Luca, I didn't know you went that way.
Clive Adams, in his 2003 book Revolutionary Islam, Carlos the Jackal called on all revolutionaries, including those on the left, even atheists, to accept the leadership of Islamists and the only transnational force capable of standing up against the enslavement of nations. He believes that combining Islamism and Marxism would form a global anti-imperialist front capable of destroying the United States, globalization, and imperialism.
Way to make me root for globalization. It's like, yeah, do you want to be an Islamic Marxist? I'll take the other thing. I'll take what I've got at the minute over that, thanks.
Maybe I am a neoliberal after all.
Maybe Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction after all.
Grant Gibson says, isn't Jezza Corbyn's brother extremely based? I wonder which child their parents are disappointed in.
I think he's still kind of insane.
Yeah, he's very erratic.
Yeah, but he can be based on something.
Yeah,
he doesn't like cashlessness and the COVID stuff.
I think he's also pretty firmly in the other camp on the environment stuff as well.
Okay.
Well, he wants to destroy the environment.
No, he's just against the net zero stuff.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
He kicks squirrels. And reckless abandon.
And burns trees.
No, I don't like the grey squirrels as much as the next guy. I would still feel bad kicking him.
He cuts his grass. He laughs because he's cutting them into tiny pieces.
Well, he's got them strapped down like a Saw film or something. They see the mower coming and they can't do anything about it.
Do you want to read through yours, Josh?
Of course. Matt D says, having lived in Japan since 2018, I have seen the massive influx of unskilled migrants working on farms who can't speak any Japanese and who have been bought over for cheap labour. I went out of my way to learn how to speak Japanese fluently and integrated with the locals. The vast majority of my friends are Japanese. Why would they not be? Knowing what's happened in the UK, I'm really worried about the future of the country. I think the Japanese are actually much more prepared, and also they're much less lame when it comes to, like, oh, this is rude to foreigners. You know, they're much more willing to do that if it's in preservation of their way of life. And they've, it seems like it's a lot more homogenous as well, in that we do have a politeness culture in Britain, but sometimes the dirty proles ruin it and don't adhere to it, even without immigration. And so there's this sort of broken window effect where people are less focused on preserving it. And I think that that's not the case in Japan. Alex Ptolemy says, did you see the videos of the white immigrants to Japan who went to some of the recent anti-migration protests, telling the Japanese people, I probably pay more tax than you, I contribute, I'm more Japanese than you are. It's very jarring to see a white man using the foreign takeover, my diversity built your nation rhetoric. But I think we can use that video to further our ends by showing it to others. It makes it incredibly clear how egregious the lie, like Windrush built Britain, really are. The funny thing is, you look at the Windrush stuff, and they were like, we want bin men and bus drivers. And I'm sorry, as important as those jobs are, it's not building the country, is it? Someone could fill it, sure. It is important, and I respect the people who do it. But you haven't built the country. It did exist before, and in fact,
also, we weren't asking them to be bin men and bus drivers. They came over here wanting to be bin men and bus drivers,
running corner shops,
and it almost started a governmental crisis where they almost turned them away.
Yeah, Attlee, like, how do we send them, like, off course to Africa? Wasn't it?
Attlee was one of the ones who was a bit in between on it. It was actually, I believe, the head of the Labour Department at the time who was saying, well, this is obviously going to disrupt labour and push down costs if we start to admit these kinds of people in here, so we should turn them away. Whereas Attlee was like, what's the harm?
Right.
I'm sure he did it just like that as well.
Yeah, that's how he was known to be.
Finally, Kevin Fox says, the stuff about not allowing foreigners to purchase land or property or get permanent leave to remain is standard procedure in Thailand. If you want to retire there and buy a house, you need a Thai to do it for you, usually some bar girl wife, and property goes in her name. The drawback is, when she fancies something a bit younger, you're screwed if you want the house back because it's not in your name.
Yeah, true. There are two other comments that I want to read from yours.
Okay.
In stuff that I'm interested in, both from Sophie Liv. First of all, Japan is probably the only country in the world who portrays Germany favourably in fiction, weirdly enough. Probably more so than even Germany itself. Attack on Titan and Fullmetal Alchemist are both based on the German military state of the mid-century, which is why characters have German names. Attack on Titan, I'm pretty sure I will be doing a video on that at some point, is like written by an actual like Japanese nationalist as well. And Fullmetal Alchemist, I've watched Brotherhood, which is an excellent series.
It is very good. It's actually, there's only two animes that I've ever seen. It's that one and JoJo. So I agree with you.
I've not watched JoJo.
The portrayal is pretty wild, Sophie.
She finishes it by saying, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure portrays Nazis as how they portray them is wild. That's very interesting because I've not watched it. So that should be fun when I eventually get around to watching it. Years from now. And also, she says, speaking of Japan, years after Harry and Connor talked about Berserk, I'm actually in the process of reading it. I'm horrified, yet can't put it down. Thanks, Harry. You owe me 3 kilos of coping chocolate. No, I don't. And you're welcome. Welcome to being a Berserk fan, where you're horrified by everything that's happening on the page, but it's just so damn good. It's so compelling. You can't not read it. Kevin Fox, for my segment now. The problem with the spend plan is that now at least 3 banks, NatWest, Santander, and another, won't let you draw over 80 quid or transfer it without telling them what it's for. Thankfully, I don't have to experience that. Zesty King, the only future I see is the short term. I'm 25 and don't think I'll ever own a house, have a family, or have a high-paying job, so why bother? Instead, I'm buying food, water, and planning on how to protect my immediate family for the turbulent road ahead. Well, I can only hope that things change for you there, because honestly, family
makes you feel better. I'm 30 and in the same boat, almost 30 this November. I feel older.
Old.
You're not much old. Younger than me, thank you very much.
Technically, we're the same age for now.
I'm the youngest.
You're 29 as well, aren't you?
I'm the youngest here.
Yeah, you'll be old soon. Then I can start pointing at you and laughing at your creaky joints.
I've even got one grey hair.
Oh my lord. Peter Harvey. Part ownership is a scam. It's an attempt to escape the restrictions coming to leasehold by forcefully owning part of your property. They can charge you a rent on that portion forever. Once you buy a shared property, it's almost impossible to sell. Yes. Jimbo G, they'll come for the state pension entirely. Then they will means test private pensions. It's never your money once they've pissed it all away. And if there's one thing government is great at, it's pissing away money. Binary Surfer at Harry, an observation regarding council tax. Part of what is consuming massive portions of it is adult and children's social care and support. I've heard figures as high as 75% of all council spending from some. No prizes for guessing what parts of the country this is happening in predominantly and why. Well, yes, this is something that we've covered before when we had our Swindon council tax letters through telling us exactly what it is that they were spending it on. And two more honourable mentions. Zesty King, just ordered Islander 4 now. Once I get it, I'll climb Ben Nevis with it. Take some pictures for your lot. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And Jan Havi says, good morning, lads. Welcome back again, Josh. Good to see you. Hope your pinched nerves get better soon, Harry. We'll order my Islander copy soon. Well, thank you very much.
We have some rumble rants before we go.
Oh, do we? I've also, my neck is slightly better.
That's all right. I'll, Sad Wings Raging says, was Jeremy Clarkson arrested a few days ago?
I've not heard of
it. I didn't hear anything of it.
I don't think it'd be very clever of the government arrest one of the most popular people in the country.
Yeah, arrest a future king. Sigil Stone 17 says, Attack on Titan, you mean Attack on Good Writing? I've never seen it. I can't comment on
that. I've watched the first series years ago. I remember it being good.
That's a random Fed post says the author for Attack on Titan got his inspiration for the Titans after having a nasty interaction with a hobo. He's very based.
Was he Patrick Bateman in this situation?
Get a goddamn job.
I've said that to a homeless person before.
I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
Got a negative attitude.
I hate the homeless.
And then finally, that's a random name, says, also, Erin did nothing wrong. The world deserved the rumbling FM Paradise Island for the win. Do you understand?
I'm not that far in, damn it.
Can't comment. Anyway.
Spoilers, bro.
So, well, you asked me to read the rumble rants. That's all we've got time for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like, you can join Calvin Robinson for the last crusade. In half an hour's time, when it's going to be Calvin's last Common Sense Crusade, so
end
do tune in for that.
Have you bought it yet?
And buy it. Buy it whilst it's out, and don't miss it. Anyway, have a good day.
It is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.